Welcome to Ball Games and Beyond, your go-to podcast for all things sports. Brought to you by SportsNot.com. Join us as we dive into the hottest headlines and trending topics in the world of sports.
Jordan, open, Chicago with the lead!
Covering everything from the NFL, NBA, MLB, PGA, to NCAA.
And Bonds hits one high! It's a deep!
So, whether you're a diehard fan or just love a good game, Ball Games and Beyond is your ticket to taking your passion for sports to the next level. And now, here's your host, Evan Grote.
Hello, sports fans, and welcome back to another brand new episode of Ball Games and Beyond with your host, Evan Grote. And as always, Ball Games and Beyond is brought to you by SportsNot.com. You know the drill. Go out there and follow SportsNot on YouTube. Click the notifications bell so you're always getting all the new video content that we're providing for you. You can also get the audio form of the podcast as well by searching Ball Games and Beyond on your favorite podcasting platform. Leave me a 5-star review and rating if you wouldn't mind doing that for me. Happy to be here with you again this week. I'm sure all of you saw the Masters over the weekend. It was a good tournament. Not a great tournament, but a good tournament. We lost a little bit of the drama, I would say, late in the day on Sunday with the greatness of Scottie Scheffler. And that is our topic for the show this week. We're gonna go with the PGA Tour. We're going to kind of recap the Masters a bit. And we're going to talk about the greatness and the dominance right now by Scottie Scheffler. I've got a couple questions I'd like to ask you. Do you think that the comparisons to Tiger Woods are fair? We've been hearing a lot about that. If you've been reading up at all about golf lately, there's a lot of comparisons out there right now with Scottie Scheffler and the way he's playing and how it compares a bit to the dominance that we saw, you know, of Tiger Woods in his prime. Do you think it's fair? And also, another question I want to ask you is, do you think it's possible? Now, it's been a long time since we have seen this happen in golf. 1930 was the last time we saw it with Bobby Jones in the pre-Masters era, but he was the last golfer to win the Grand Slam, which is when you win all four of the majors in one calendar year. Do you think it's possible that Scottie Scheffler could be the first man to do that in a very, very long time? Of course, we have seen the career Grand Slam. We've had five players who have completed the career Grand Slam. Rory McIlroy is still one major away with the Masters. He would be the sixth person to do it if he was ever able to do it. And then we saw the Tiger Slam, of course, in 2000 and 2001, where he won four consecutive Masters. But Scottie Scheffler right now is the favorite. If you look at the betting odds, he's the current favorite to win the PGA Championship coming up here at Valhalla next month in May. And he's also the favorite to win the final two majors of the year, the U.S. Open and the British Open as well. So it's possible. It'll be difficult, but it's possible the way he's playing right now that we could see it. I'd like to know what you guys think about that. You can reach me on X. You can DM me with some of your thoughts. Leave a message in the chat on YouTube. Give us your opinion on that. All right. So anyway, Scottie Scheffler, another dominant win. Was almost led wire to wire. Was in the mix the whole entire tournament and kind of pulled away from the field on the back nine on Sunday at Augusta, where some of those other guys kind of fell off. And I think what is most impressive about Scottie Scheffler and what he was able to do on, not Sunday, but the entire week at Augusta National, was going into the tournament, he was the heavy favorite. He's far and away the number one player in golf right now. It's really not even close. I thought John Rahm was close, but after what I saw from Rahm this past weekend, he lost to Scheffler by 20 strokes. And you know, having Rahm having gone over to the LIV Tour, just not playing as much golf as he's used to, I'm wondering how much that is, you know, going to affect his performances going forward. But getting back to Scheffler. What I think was most impressive about his win was going in, he was the far and away the favorite, and he was able to get it done. And I think, you know, a lot of us take that for granted with the pressure that comes with being the favorite, especially in an individual sport like golf. I mean, we're not talking about a team sport like football, basketball, or baseball. It is all on his shoulders. The pressure is all on him to hit the shots, to drive the ball, to make the timely putts, to have the mental makeup and you know, the demeanor out there on the golf course to get it done. And he was able to do that despite all the pressure. He's got a pregnant wife at home who, you know, he wasn't sure if she was going to go into labor or not during the tournament. He said all along he was willing to withdraw from the tournament if she did go into labor. Lucky for him, that didn't happen. And he was able to complete the tournament and win. But, you know, I'm just very impressed with his mental makeup and the way he approaches the game from that aspect, because we all know how physically talented he is. I know there's been some talk out there about him maybe not being as good with the putter as maybe some of the other greats out there, but he did make a change recently with the putter, and I think it helped him out big time at the Masters. So that is the topic of the show this week. We've got a great guest as well. We're going to be joined here in just a second in segment number two of the show by Bob Herrig, who is a golf writer for SI.com. Great follow on X. You can follow him at Bob Herrig. And he's also an author. He's written a couple different books on Tiger Woods. He's written a book about Tiger Woods and his rivalry with Phil Mickelson. And he's got a brand new book out. It just came out about a month ago or a little under a month ago. It's titled Drive, The Lasting Legacy of Tiger Woods. So we're going to talk to Bob not only about his new book and a little bit about Tiger Woods, but also about the dominance of Scottie Scheffler here in the last few months of golf, when he has won three of his last four tournaments. He's got 9 wins on tour since 2022. So Scottie Scheffler off to a great start here so far at the age of 27 with 2 Masters wins on his resume. So we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, again, we'll be joined by our guest, Bob Herrig, to continue our conversation. Don't go anywhere. All that and more coming up next on Ball Games and Beyond. Welcome back to Ball Games and Beyond. And now we welcome in our guests for this week. And that's a great guest at that. Bob Herrig, golf writer for SportsIllustrated.com, author as well, who has written a brand new book that came out March 26th, I believe was the date. I actually have my copy of the book right here. I encourage everyone to go out there and get it. The title of the book is Drive, The Lasting Legacy of Tiger Woods. We're going to discuss that as well as Scottie Scheffler's dominance here recently in golf. But before we do that, Bob, we're happy to have you on. Thanks for giving up some of your time today.
Hey, I appreciate you having me. Thanks very much.
Yeah, so I mentioned the book, Drive, The Lasting Legacy of Tiger Woods. You can find it on Amazon.com. I got my copy at Barnes & Noble, actually. So go out there and get that if you're a big golf fan or a Tiger Woods fan like I am. Quickly, Bob, if you could just kind of give us a bit of an overview of what readers can expect when they pick up this book.
Well, you know, this past weekend at the Masters was kind of encapsulates what the book is about. You know, Saturday when he shot 82 was, you know, it was almost a highlight reel of what the guys endured for a good bit of the last decade. Injuries, you know, his back problems. You could see the walking issues at times. Just never quite knowing when it's gonna get him. You know, he has back spasms apparently. He doesn't really say a whole lot about it, but he doesn't give us a lot of detail. But that's what happened back in the 2014, 15, 16, 17 time frame when he really didn't play very much. But then what we saw Friday was what Tiger fought through. You know, that was an amazing round of golf. Shot 72 on a day when there was only one score in the 60s. Winds howling, up to 40 mile an hour gusts. You know, he made the cut again, 5 shots inside the cut number. Only 21 players beat him. Among those who didn't were Jon Rahm and Brooks Koepka and Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas. And yes, Tiger struggled on the weekend, but again, that's sort of the book. The book is how Tiger has, his whole career has been not just his talent, which is obviously immense. He's got great skills. He'd have won a lot anyway, but I don't think he wins as much as he did without this incredible willpower. You know, this resiliency, frankly, drive, the title of the book. And I've got numerous examples in there throughout his career going all the way back of how, you know, other people might not have had the same result, even with the same level of skill, if it weren't for his incredible drive and his resiliency to push through.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I've gotten through just one chapter because I just picked up my book, but a lot of what you just laid out is right there in the first chapter. And I think it's really impressive when you look at, you know, what he has gone through recently. You know, I'm talking about the car accident and trying to get back into golf after, you know, dealing with that terrible car accident that he had, to come out there and be able to be competitive for the first two rounds. It just amazes me at what he is still able to do at age of 48 with all the injuries. Now, as someone like yourself who has followed Tiger his whole career, wrote multiple books on Tiger, you were witness to all 15 of his major victories. Which one of his achievements, and there's been plenty, could you point to as one that maybe stands out more than the others, and kind of represents everything that Tiger Woods is?
I think it's a fun barroom debate, frankly, you know, which is his greatest win. You know, I could argue for probably four of them. The first Masters in 97, when he shot 40 for his first nine holes and ended up winning by 12. The 2000 U.S. Open, when he won by 15 shots. Nobody else was under par. Tiger was 12 under, and the next best score was plus 3 at Pebble Beach. It was an amazing performance. It was part of an amazing run of Tiger's where, you know, obviously he went on to win all four majors in a row, an incredible 2000 season. I mean, he was just a remarkable player. The 2008 U.S. Open at Torrey Pines where, you know, we learned afterward he had a couple of hairline fractures in his lower leg in addition to a completely blown ACL, which he had surgery for a week later. Tiger won five times that year in like four times, I believe, in six starts. And then he sat out the rest of the year. He didn't come back until February of 2009. It was an amazing accomplishment there. But then the one that I pick, again, I think it's debatable, maybe recency bias, but the 2019 Masters win. Tiger wasn't Tiger then. He wasn't that same guy who won the first 14 majors. He wasn't expected to win like he was back then. Obviously diminished physically, 2 years removed from spinal fusion surgery, going up against Brooks Koepka, Dustin Johnson, Xander Schauffele. I mean, Francesco Molinari played with him in the last group at the Masters. Just 6 months before or so, 7 months before at the Open, they played together in the final round at Carnoustie, and Tiger took the lead for a short time, but it was Molinari who won. So, like, Molinari wasn't afraid of Tiger. These guys weren't afraid of him. He was 43 years old. He had never won a major coming from behind. And somehow he got it done amid all of that great field, all the physical woes, just 2 years earlier, that really serious surgery. That's why I kind of put it above. I think it was so different than the others, and it was so well received, and there was just this outpouring of response and gratitude and, you know, all the other players were cheering him on. Just so many aspects to that win, and I cover a lot of that ground as well.
Yeah, I that's a pretty good list you got there of his top moments, and I think it would be hard to argue with the 2019 Masters as, you know, one of his greatest achievements. I don't think many of us, like fans like myself, I didn't think we'd ever see that moment again. And I remember exactly where I was, sitting in my family room, sharing that moment with my children, who are now old enough to be able to kind of watch golf. And, you know, of course, I grew up watching Tiger myself. So for me, that was a pretty cool moment to be able to share that with my kids as well. But yeah, just great stuff there. And again, go out there and get your copy of the book. The title of the book is Drive, The Lasting Legacy of Tiger Woods, available now at your bookstores everywhere, Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com. Father's Day's coming up, So make sure you go out there and take care of your father. All right, Bob, let's get into the other topic that I had for us today, and that's Scottie Scheffler and his dominance as of late. He now has two Masters victories on his resume. He's only 27 years old, has won three of the last four tournaments, in only nine starts this year. He's just off to a blistering hot start this season. He's by far the best player on tour right now. It's not even close right now. Number one player in the world. I just want to get some of your thoughts on Scottie Scheffler's win at the Masters and just kind of his dominance right now, you know, really since he's joined the tour and, you know, in 2022, I believe it was, when he really started to make a name for himself.
Yeah, actually, you know, what's crazy to think about, in 2021, Scottie had not won, and he was the last pick for the U.S. Ryder Cup team that year, and it was somewhat controversial. Like, it's crazy to think of that now. You know, but back then it was like it was a decision that Steve Stricker had to make, and they kind of agonized over it. But they liked him, and they liked what he brought. They liked his ball striking. He had a great Ryder Cup. I think it gave him a lot of confidence. He then changed caddies to Ted Scott, who caddied for Bubba Watson for a long time. And whether it's coincidence or not, he's just been on a roll ever since. You know, he's won nine times going back to the beginning of 2022. That's the most in that small of a period since Justin Thomas did it in 16-17. But, you know, Scottie's got the rest of this year still to win more. I think the most remarkable stat is he hasn't shot a score over par this year. You know, that's Tiger-esque. You know, Tiger did that kind of stuff 20 years ago. In fact, you know, Scheffler's odds at the Masters were Tiger-esque. The last time they were that short was in 2013 when Tiger was in the 4 to 5 to 1 range, and he didn't win. You know, it's not any guarantee, and yet Scottie did win. It's incredible to think that he was tied with three other guys with 11 holes to go, and he won by four over second place and by seven over everybody else. I mean, it just kind of blew them away. They made mistakes. He stepped on the gas, and he kind of made the last couple holes easy on himself, which, you know, it was maybe disappointing from a drama standpoint, but it was impressive for him. And, yeah, I mean, it's scary to think that if he had been putting better last summer, you know, it would just be a remarkable historic run that he'd be on right now, because he let some chances get away last year. He probably should have won the FedEx Cup. You know, there was a couple of tournaments where he was in the mix and didn't get it done. He had this long stretch of nothing outside the top 12 until the Open. And, you know, it just goes on and on. Just keep piling it up. It's an incredible stretch of golf that he's been playing here. And it doesn't seem like it's going to end anytime soon.
Yeah, yeah. It certainly did take the drama, you know, especially I would say out of the back nine of the Masters with the way he played and some of those other guys kind of fell apart. And you mentioned not shooting around over par. I have the stat here in my notes. He has played 35 competitive rounds on tour this season, and as you mentioned, has yet to record a score over par. So that is absolutely incredible to think about.
And one I think of the other... it's only one score at par.
Yeah,
Or one or two. I mean, it's not even just over par. It's like he's only had one or two that were even par. Like, out of those 35 rounds, like 33 are under par, which is, you know, it just takes it even farther. It's crazy. So, but it's great stuff, and it's, you know, more power to him. It's been a fun ride for him.
Yeah. Now, one of the other things I wanted to follow up with you there was you mentioned the comparisons to Tiger, and because, you know, you're such a, you know, you've wrote the multiple books on Tiger, you've covered his career so closely, I think you're a good person to ask this question. Do you think the comparisons to Tiger are fair? Because sometimes in sports, I think that we're so quick to crown someone the heir apparent to, like, the greatest, right? I mean, we are already hearing in NFL football, Patrick Mahomes is now creeping up on Tom Brady. We know the LeBron and Jordan debate, that is going to rage on. And now here in golf, we have Scottie Scheffler, you know, in the conversation with Tiger Woods. Now, obviously, he still has a long way to go, you know, but he's in the conversation. And I think if we just look back maybe, I don't know, 10 or 12 years. I can't remember exactly when it was, but, you know, Rory McIlroy was on a streak where he looked like maybe he was the next guy. And then we had Jordan Spieth, who won three majors right away to start his career. I think what that shows is because, you know, they haven't continued to win, at least in the majors. It's hard. It is hard to win those four big-time tournaments. And I think ultimately when we're talking about greatness in golf, you're going to be measured by how you do in those major tournaments, you know, in your success in those major tournaments. So, you know, for as dominant as Scheffler has been, do you think that the comparisons to Tiger are fair right now?
I think within context they're fair. You know, it's a short body of work, relatively speaking. I mean, let's see him play this out for another 3 years. Let's see where he is after 6 years of this. You know, Tiger won the Player of the Year award 10 times. You know, Tiger had 10 seasons of minimum five victories. You know, he had like 7 and 8 and 9 win years. You know, the best Scottie's done is 4. That was 2 years ago. Last year, as good as he was, he won only twice. This year, he's won 3 times. Let's see if he can get to 5. You know, 5 wins in a year today is monumental. It just doesn't happen very often. You know, Jordan Spieth did it. Jason Day did it. Justin Thomas did it. But not many guys are winning at that clip. What we're seeing is there's a smaller window. You know, Jordan Spieth got most of his winning done through 2017. Since then, he's only won twice. As great as his career is, he's not won much in the last 6 years. JT, same thing. You know, he's only won, I don't want to, you know, only. It's still impressive, but he's only won 4 times since 2000. And he's going on 2 years without a win. You know, a lot of these guys just do not sustain it. Tiger sustained that for 11, 12 years. Actually, longer. You know, he won 5 times in 2013. That was still 5 years removed from his last major, but he was still winning at a big clip that year. He won 3 times in 2012. So that's where I think the comparisons, it gets a little dangerous. Last year, Scottie had an amazing adjusted scoring average on tour. I believe it was the 7th or 6th best all time. It was the best by anybody not named Tiger. Like, those comparisons are fair. He was in that ballpark. The level of consistency is fair. Winning 2 Masters in 5 tries or at this young age is fair. But to take it beyond that and expect it's going to continue, you know, I think that's a lot to ask, and I think we have to sort of wait it out. You know, there's so many ebbs and flows to golf. There's injuries. There's lack of desire. You wonder about that. He even talked on Sunday at the Masters about, you know, how it's hard to be a golfer because you just, you know, he can't stand it when he loses. And so you wonder, like, is the joy going to be there still, trying to keep doing this and trying to keep it up and talking to the media all the time and being expected to win? And then if you have some setbacks, dealing with that. So I would say it's fun to compare on some levels, but be careful going too far with it because there's a lot more to go to get to where Tiger is.
Yeah. Our guest this week on Ball Games and Beyond is Bob Herrig, golf writer for SI.com. And you can follow Bob on X at Bob Herrig. So go out there and do that. You can get a little bit more information on his book as well. You know, Bob, I was reading your article that you wrote on SI.com, your recap of Scottie Scheffler's win at the Masters. And one of the things that you talked about was how he kind of employed an old Tiger philosophy, or strategy, I should say, of letting the other people around him who were close to him make the mistakes and kind of let them fall back, right? And, you know, it just seems that for all of Scheffler's physical abilities, and there's a lot of physical abilities there, his ability to drive the ball, his chipping ability, making timely putts, he does those things at a very high level. But I think for me, the thing that impresses me the most is his composure, his demeanor out there, and the way he approaches the game from a mental standpoint. And that is another area, and I guess in a comparison to Tiger. And that's really where Tiger separated himself from a lot of his opponents was from the mental part of the game. So, you know, despite a shaky putter at times with Scheffler, He seems to have the total package. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, the putting isn't to Tiger's level, prime Tiger. Everything else is pretty good. He drives it better than Tiger. His iron play is elite. You know, Tiger still has elite iron play, frankly. When he's healthy, he can hit it. He can hit those iron shots stiff. He's amazing how solid he hits the ball. I don't know if he really employs the strategy of letting others make mistakes, but that's how it is looked. Tiger was the master at that. You know, there was a U.S. Open Tiger won where he shot progressively worse scores every day, the one at Bethpage in 02. He shot a good score in the first round, and they got worse by the day. And yet he still won because he didn't make the monumental mistake, and everybody else felt that they had to go after him. And I think that's not necessarily the right philosophy. Like, you get it in your head that he's infallible, and so you try to do things you shouldn't do. Morikawa admitted it. He said he got greedy on the ninth hole. He went for a flag, and he ends up hitting in the bunker and leaves one in there and makes double. Bad mistake. You know, like, you've got to take your chances when you can, and sometimes that's going to mean having a 30-footer for birdie. And that, it's hard to be patient. I think that hurts Rory. Rory's so good and so skilled, he wants to go after pins sometimes, and it can hurt him. You know, it's hard to be patient. Tiger was an amazingly patient golfer that way. So was Nicklaus. You know, a lot of times they played to the middle of the green, and they would take their birdie runs when they got them, and they would get out of there with a par, and then other guys made mistakes around them. And then when they were behind, they felt they had to do things special just to beat him. And I think a lot of their wins were because the other guys gave them too much credit. And going back to what I was saying earlier about Tiger, they didn't feel that way about Tiger 5 years ago. You know, they didn't think that Tiger was infallible. And so that's what made that win even better. But back in the day, they did. And I think we're starting to see that a little bit with Scheffler. I mean, I don't think it's any coincidence that the three top guys who were up there all made double bogeys on Sunday. You know, you're going to have a hard time winning any tournament making a double bogey on the last day, especially on the back nine. And yet, Homa did. You know, Morikawa made two of them. And who am I missing there?
Was it the Aberg?
Was it the rookie? Ober, right. He made the one on 11, although he bounced back and made a couple of birdies. Yeah, Ludwig was great. Look, his might have been a mistake of youth there, but although afterward he said, I played the same shot every day. He tried to play this little draw off the right side of the green. He overcooked it. But, like, you just cannot hit it in the water there. You can get out of there with a five and probably be okay. But to his credit, he bounced back with a couple of more birdies, and he made Scheffler have to, you know, Scheffler couldn't just coast in. And he didn't. Scheffler birdied 13. He nearly made eagle. He birdied 14, and then he just, you know, he got it in and in easy fashion almost. Although I'm sure it wasn't.
Yeah, he made it look easy, right? What about the prospect of Scheffler winning the Grand Slam this year? I mean, we haven't seen it since Bobby Jones, 1930 in the pre-Masters era. We've seen the career Grand Slam, of course, and we had the Tiger Slam, but. Do you feel like this is kind of shaping up? And I know we're a little early here to have this conversation, but Scheffler is currently the odds-on favorite to win the next three majors. Yeah. Do you think it's possible that he can complete this Scotty Slam, the Grand Slam here this year?
I really don't think it is. I just think it's such a holy grail. It's so hard to do. You know, Jordan Spieth won the first two majors in 2015 when the order was different. He won the U.S. Open. He needed some help there from Dustin Johnson to win that one. And then, you know, he had a great chance at St. Andrews and actually missed a playoff by a shot. You know, that and then finished second at the PGA. It was an amazing run that year. But look how good he was, and he still, you know, he couldn't win the third. It's so much to ask, you know. It would be fun, though, if he got the second one. You know, it's been very rare where a guy wins the first two majors in a year. Spieth being the last one. The last time before that was Tiger in 02. And Tiger won the first two. He went to the British and was right there in the third day and got hit by 40, you know, 40 degree temperatures and a swirling wind, and he shot his first score in the 80s. You know, so stuff happens. Like, it's just so hard. And you know, I wouldn't necessarily bet against it. I just think it's really, really sort of a long shot to think that could happen. Who knows what's going to be going on a month from now when he plays the PGA? But it's going to be fun to see him try.
Yeah, absolutely. Bob Herrig is our guest golf writer for SI.com, and we'll wrap it up with this one right here. And I know this is could be a difficult one to project, but ultimately, you know, if he remains healthy, remains focused on golf, how many majors could you see him ending his career with?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, when Rory got to four, didn't we think he might get to eight?
Yeah.
And he's still at four. You know, Brooks has five, and that's amazing how quickly he's done that, actually. When Jordan got to three, we thought for sure that he would win a couple more. It's just really hard to keep it going. You know, there's some guys out there in their careers. Tiger and Jack are the outliers. You know, Arnie won all of his majors in a seven-year period. Tom Watson was sort of the same, maybe eight-year period of winning majors. The window isn't that big. You know, so his window is he's in his third year now. Let's give him another three to see where he is. Can he pick off another one or two and get to four or five even? You know, frankly, in this day and age, if you get four or five majors, that's unbelievable. And if you can get to six to tie Phil, you know, who's won the most of anybody outside of Tiger in the modern era, that's incredible. You know, I just think those days are – it's the idea of even thinking about getting to double-digit majors, as great as he's playing right now, it's pretty far-fetched because there's a lot of really good players. It's hard to keep it going. Things crop up. Courses don't suit you. And, you know, although it doesn't look like anything's bothering Scheffler now, I would kind of put the cap on it around four or five.
Okay. Yeah, we'll have to see how that plays out. He's off to a good start right now. But Bob Herrig, everybody, go out there and get the book, Drive, The Lasting Legacy of Tiger Woods. I'm one chapter in so far, and I'm already hooked. I'm going to pick it up again tonight. Bob, thank you so much for the time, and we appreciate your some of your insight here today.
Thanks, Evan. I appreciate you having me.